Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the real life of Nisha D. My host, Nisha D. How are you, my friend?
Hey, what's up, Nisha?
How are you, my friend? Welcome to the real life of Nisha D. How are you on this God-filled Sunday?
I'm doing well. No complaints on my end at all.
You know I had to have you on my show, right?
Yeah.
you know, I never come across a stranger, right? And I always tell people, I meet so many people throughout my walk on this earth. I meet so many people. Some have lasting impressions, and some people's energy is so organic and natural, it just draws you in. And you, my brother, you drew me in with your energy. Tonight, we're still in this love draw series. And I wanted to have, and I'm going to let him tell you all a bit about himself. I wanted to have my friend Calvin on because I wanted to know, and a lot of my listening audience that are women wanted to know what makes a man decide he's ready to be in a committed relationship and then turn around and he's not committed. But I want you to let my listening audience know a little about yourself, where you're from, and you know, and we'll take it from there, my brother.
Okay, that's cool. First of all, I do want to say thank you once again for having me on your podcast. So it's an honor to be on your podcast, first and foremost.
Thank you for being on here. Thank you for coming on, you know? Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Well, a little bit by myself. Like you say, my name is Calvin. I was born at Barksdale Air Force Base in Bossier City, Louisiana. I was raised in my teenage years in Los Angeles, but along the line around my sophomore year, I moved to Houston. So I always consider myself a Houstonian at heart at the end of the day. So, you know, that's just a little basis. Currently, I live in Shreveport, Louisiana, and it is hard out here right now, all that. And that's really about it just to start off. So.
Well, thank you. So you was an army kid?
Somewhere. I spent 3 years in Germany, from 1 year old to 4 years old. I was in Germany.
So. Okay.
But well, I'm not a military brat.
Okay, well, that's good to know. That's good to know. So, Calvin and I, we met through social media. And we just laugh about how, you know, I always post things that are thought-provoking. And I always post things to make people think. And it was a post that I posted about, it comes a time in a woman's life that she's tired of just sex and she wants truly a commitment. She wants to be with a man that she feels safe with. And lo and behold, all the alley cats came out. They came out with no understanding. They came out. I had to block a few people because the post said a woman. It didn't say a man. And it's so important that as people, we look at each other's life story from different perspectives. So we're going to get into this. Calvin, of course, you know, I have some questions to ask you. But I wanted to ask you something. And that a good girlfriend and I, we had a conversation this morning. But I would like to tell you about last night. We're out, right, at a club. My godmother had her party on last night. So it was my my sister Carly and my cousin Queenie and, you know, my boy Art. It was a bunch of us. We hanging out and we're enjoying this thing called life because, you know, I normally be in bed at a certain time because I like my beauty sleep. And so, you know, someone's braid fell, you know, out of their head, right? Old girl had the nerve to be texting somebody about the braid that fell out someone's head, right? And And if you seen no girl, she really looked like, you know, she was a hot mess, right? Like a hot mess. And it's amazing how women be so jealous of another woman when they walk in the room. It's crazy because energy says it all. And you can't be mad if someone walks in the room and they're walking with God and you see it. What you should do is sit down, hold a conversation with a person and see how can you get some of that energy that blesses you.
Amen.
So I want to get into these questions. Who is Calvin?
Huh. Let's see. Calvin is, how I put it, I'm not a complicated person. I'm probably the most down-to-earth person you can come across. And I know that's like a cliche for the most part, but I actually fit that criteria. I'm just a worldly person. I've experienced a lot in life, so it made me appreciate life more than anything. I honestly say that. Like I say, I'm just that type of person that if you need it, I got you. I'm spontaneous. I'm the life of a party. I don't get too angry because I feel like it's too much in the world to be angry about. So I try to keep an even keel. I'm a hardworking individual. I'm a father. I'm a great all-around person. I consider myself the LeBron James of just being a everyday, average Joe.
Okay, that's a deep philosophy. So, you know, I'm glad we got that out the way. So, what defines a man when he truly is ready to settle down? What defines him? Like, what would define a man? Because I'm only a woman, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't speak. I have brothers, but I never walked in my brother's shoes. I have male cousins. I never walked in their shoes. I have a father, never walked in his shoes. And I know my brothers and father and cousins used to be Rolling Stones. Some settled down, some haven't. But tell me, what was your defining? What makes you say, okay, this is the woman for me?
Good question. Now, when you asked me that, I've been actually thinking about this for a couple of days. And I've just come to one simple conclusion for us with myself. Because a lot of times you can't speak for other men. Mm-hmm. But I try to use it on the basis. And I really believe, this is just me, Nisha. And I really believe a man knows he wants to settle down when you're dealing with a woman and it doesn't feel like settling it down. It's like you're continuing just an adventure with that person, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. For as like, you know, you first start out dating somebody and you find yourself, you want to continuously do things with this person. And not on a level of just, hey, man, I guess we got to do it today. No, it's something you wake up on your mind. Hey, you want to do this? Or, you continuously want to grow with that person on a daily basis. And it gets to the point of where you feel like other things don't matter as much because your whole basis is just continuing the process along to get to know this person. And eventually you get to the point where you feel like it's 6 months down the road and you're looking at it like damn, we here. So that's just really my whole basis of how I look at it.
So so in other words, it's a je ne sais quoi that you see in someone that gravitates you to them and you say, this is it?
Basically. And the reason why I say that, because I came out of a relationship like that. Now to this day, me and the person, we are actually best friends. Mm. And I was always under the impression that I would never get in a relationship. I really believed that my whole life I was just gonna be one of them dudes. You know, you date, move on, but it is what it is. And this one woman I ran across, like I say, me and her are best friends to this day, it changed my whole perspective because I found myself being in a situation where every day I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something different. Cause she allowed me to explore different avenues of life. And once she did that, it was the most beautiful thing I ever witnessed in my life.
So do you think that it's important? Because I tell my friend and I, we had a conversation this morning. Because, you know, I have friends all around the world, right? Literally, I really do. They in different states and different countries. And we interact via Messenger, or maybe they'll call me or they'll text me. And we'll have some real stimulating conversations. And we talked about this thing about the soulmates, because in this Love Drought series, I wanted different angles, different perspectives on what's a love drought. And sometimes, you know, being in a relationship can be a love drought. It can be a fulfilling drought, meaning that you learn to navigate through life through a drought, or it can be one of those droughts that you're like, I don't want to deal with this.
True.
But, you know, I do believe that we all have soulmates, right?
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that just because we have our soulmates doesn't mean that they're our mates.
Facts.
And I say this to say that I have a soulmate, right? But that is not my mate. I could feel the energy. Right now, I could tell that my soulmate is happy right now, because I feel the energy. My soulmate is at peace with whoever, whomever, whatever's going on. He's at peace with himself. He's at peace with whatever. Fine, good. Sometimes I told my good friend, I said, friend, I said, the love that you pour into your soulmate is the love that will set them free.
Hmm.
And I say that to say that they need that love, because it was something about you that they gravitated to in that moment, in that season. Because sometimes your love is the only love they could ever feel. There's fake love out there that people misconstrue and call it real love, and it really isn't. So, you know, you have soulmates, but you're just not with your soulmate. And for all those people say, well, I'm with my soulmate. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But there are soulmates that are not together. And this is law. It's true.
I was going to say, what's crazy about that is one of my coworkers a while back was speaking on that same situation. Basically, everything you just said about how you can have a soulmate, but that doesn't mean you're going to be with that person for the rest of your life. You know, and like he was basically saying that sometimes a person, like you say, a person can come into your life for whatever reason, and it, for that moment, it was meant to be. And, you know, you can go on from that moment and, you know, you may find another wife or another husband or whatever, but that doesn't mean that person in the past wasn't part of your soul. You know what I'm saying? Your soul mate. So I totally grasp what you're saying, though, and that's actually good. Damn, you good, woman.
Well, you know, thank you, my love. You know, when you go through life and I've been in a lot of places in my life and seen a lot of things and I felt a lot of things, and you know, the most powerful thing I ever felt was love. And and people, you know, like, what? And love is one of those things that if you know love, you recognize love. And for me, Calvin, I never understood how a man could awaken a woman, right? And I'm speaking from my perspective, because I want you to speak from your perspective as a man. I never understood how a man could awaken a woman, tell her, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, and she believe him, she pour into him, she feed into him, she nourish him, she's growing him. And he says, let's get married. So we get married. And you still out there running wild. Did you not take me seriously? Not me, but did you not take your vows that you said before the universe of God? Did you not take those vows seriously? You know, it's like, I don't understand how people can marry and still hurt someone.
Yeah,
that they claim that they love. And I say this because I want your perspective, because you're a man. I want you to ask me the same thing, but and you do your own little twist on it. But I feel that there's a lot of damaged souls in this world that are with the people that they don't need to be with, because it's a familiarity to them. They cling to it.
That part. And I will say too, like, I can't speak as a married person or been married, because I've never been there. But on the outside, looking in and having family members and friends and relationships or marriages, and I've seen it only work because, like something you just said earlier about how you know this person really probably not good for you, but you feel like this the best you can do, or this person has something about them that you just gravitate to and you stick with it, knowing that at the end it's not good for your health, it's not good for your relationship, it's not good for your family, it's not good being, you know, you taking it to work. And my whole thing with the marriage thing is I would never tell somebody something if I'm not 100% into it. And I do believe that you do have situations where let's use the men, for example. Like you say, a man tells a woman, hey, I'm ready to tie the knot. Let's get married. And I don't know if you ever noticed it, but I've been noticing for like the last 10 to 15 years, it seemed like a lot of people were doing good before they actually got married. I've known couples that's been together for 10 years or whatever, and the day that they decided to get married, all hell broke loose. The cheating started. And my whole thing is, like I say, if I'm with you, it's 100%. I'm not going to give you 98%, because then that means I'm shorting you the 2% that I promised you from the jump. Ooh. So I would never, ever, and I can actually say that, I would never put myself in a situation where I would have my spouse hurt, questioning me, questioning her commitment to me, questioning God or anything of that nature. And I just think we live in a situation now where a lot of guys looking at it like, it's not even the cake and they want to eat it too. They want the ingredients. They want you to put the gas in the car so they can go to the store to get the ingredients. But when they come home, they want you to make their cake. They want you to smile for them. They want you to be happy. And after you've making a cake and they eat it, they want to be able to go out their door and go get another cake and still come home and have you say, baby, let me wipe that cake off your lips, even though that's not your cake. Yeah, if that makes any sense.
That was deep. Yeah. Because, you know, I just never, you know, I was married before, right? And God bless my ex-husband and I abundantly. Like, for real, like, we was truly blessed. Like, we were 23 and 24. No, I was 22. It was so long ago. We was one of them 20s, right? We was in one of them 20s.
Yeah.
And, you know, God blessed us with a beautiful home. It was a big home. And it just, we was blessed. But the greediness that's in someone I think that it's greed. I think that a lot of times people see, I feel that as a woman, I can be whatever freak my husband want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you need, I can, whatever personality, because I got a bunch of personalities. So whatever personality you want me, if you want me to be Shaquanda, I could be Shaquanda. If you want me to be the nerdy girl, I could be that. If you want me to be the dope chick, I could be that. The sophisticated chick, I can be that. I can be anything because I know how to adapt to change, right? And I see how a lot of men move. They could have beautiful women, smart, intelligent, sophisticated, everything. And then they go cheat on you with somebody with some green and orange hair. And I know how to pronounce the word orange, but I want to say orange. Orange hair with all these different colors in their hand. Don't know how to cook. Don't know how to clean. These builder women up things. You know, the women with the silicone breasts and the silicone ass and the liposuction stomach. That's what they want now. They don't want the orange. Authentic woman. They don't want the woman that will pray for them and not pray on them. And then when it all falls down, the woman is left carrying this baggage. Like, what did I do wrong to cause this man to cheat on me? And 9 times out of 10, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just that society will have men believing that they need more than one.
True. And I think too, with the age of like social media too, it didn't play a part in it too. As far as like the advancement of, like you say, a female's body part, you know, and it's like when you get on the internet now, as soon as you open up, the first thing you see is ass. You see tits. You see all these things. And I always tell women this, like, and the reason I'm gonna tell you this, it's funny. I don't know if you remember, I had a post a while back when I had like, if you was a man for 24 hours, you know, a woman, what would you do? And a lot of the females, they would come in about it. They would play with themselves, or they just send dick, you know, dick pics and stuff like that. And that further let me know that women really don't understand men, because I truly believe in this. We don't understand ourselves at times either. And I think a lot of men, they could have a great woman at home. The woman, like you say, you could play the role play with them. You can cook for them, clean, have their bath water there, scrub their feet, and you'll still find, well, why this man still cheating? And I truly believe at the end of the day, some men just, I probably hate even saying this for men, but I just think some men are just lame. And when I say lame, and I mean lame in the sense of they allow a 10-minute pleasure or whatever it may be for that little short time frame to fuck up everything else that they know.
I wish a nigga would give me 10 minutes.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, yeah. Hey, look, Bernie Mac say 2 minutes, 3 minutes, the best he got. But.
I wish.
But I do believe, like, you know, it's just some men out here that struggle with it. And I can say that honestly, that every relationship I've ever been in, and right here to the man, like it's gonna rain out here right now, I can understand I've never cheated, because I never had the intuition to cheat. Cause I always felt like if I got with you, that means hell, I wanted to be with you. Cause if I didn't want to get with you, I would just stay, be single, we can date, do what we do, and I still do what I do on the side. But that's not my makeup, because I wasn't raised like that. You know,
so you was raised with structure, right? So you're telling me that you had a structural foundation with your parents.
Yeah, and it's like my dad and my mother was together. God bless my mother's soul now, but I never seen her do anything out the ordinary. Damn sure never seen my dad do anything out the ordinary. So far as all I knew was, hey man, this how it goes. Now, friends-wise, you know, growing up, having friends, single parents, whatever, I seen that structure of it, and I always felt like that's not what I want to be part of, because that seemed like that's too much hassle to deal with. You know, you got to be sneaky. You got to be conniving. And I could never be with somebody knowing that I laid up with somebody else, and now I'm coming back home to you. My spirit wouldn't sit right with me, because I feel like I'm allowing evil spirits to come in the house now.
We talked about that last weekend. My sister, my beautiful kindred sister, Phoenix, we talked about these spirits. When you lay down with these people, you take on every attribute they got going on in their body. You take it on when you lay down with them. That's why you cannot show your teeth to every guy you meet or every woman you meet.
Yeah.
You touched on something about the structure. So do you believe, because I'm a firm believer of therapy, right? Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, therapy saved my life. I mean, therapy really saved my, and I need to make a appointment, and I need to do that sometime this week, because I need to talk, because I don't went through so much stuff this year, and I haven't sat down and talked to anyone about my emotions and my feelings. I mean, I talk to God, but God also gives us clarity and guides us to, you know, how you can, you know, seek help and speak with someone else regarding your feelings, because you can't just go to your friends and talk to them, because they're gonna agree with you or tell you, yeah, no, sometimes you need that extra boost with someone that you don't know. So I always think back that a lot of times that a lot of marriages and a lot of relationships does not work because they come from a broken environment, right? And I come from Fifth Ward, Texas. I mean, that's what. And you know, sometimes that girl from Fifth Ward, let her loose. She comes out and she will just set everything straight. But where I grew up at, you had two family parents, you know, in the hood or whatever, but then you had single parent homes in the hood. Like my house was a single parent house, even though, you know, my stepfather was active in my life. I never knew my real father because my real father was in the army, And him and my mother met in Denver, Colorado, at one of those air base, whatever bases up there in Denver. And they fell in love, and in that love, they created me. My father wanted to take me back to his hometown of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hey, you don't know, I mean, cause y'all, you know, the first time I know say that when people say Baton Rouge.
Yeah, because people don't pronounce it right. It's Baton Rouge, and so I didn't grow up with my father. My father wanted me and to take me back to his hometown and to raise me, but then I never would have had my mother or my grandmother. So my mother, my grandmother, and my papa, and I had my father. My father figure was my grandfather, because my grandfather was the first man that spoiled me rotten, gave me everything. And then, you know, when he died, I lacked that father figure, right? I mean, yeah. I had my uncles and stuff, but, you know, this is the 80s growing up. It's crack cocaine, you know? Yeah. My uncles and them, they started getting on doing crack or whatever. So, you know, they were there, but then they really wasn't, because they're constantly trying to chase this high. So, you know, a black girl growing up in the hood, guess what she turned to? She liked the gangsters. She liked the hood legend. So that's what it propels her to see, wow, you know, this is safety up here. This man, he will protect me, or this man, this and this and that. And this is me speaking from every little ghetto girl in America. And even like, and I could say even from the ghetto boys of America, if their mother was on drugs or whatever, they have a disliking because their mother was on drugs and she never showed them the love that she should have shown them to teach them how to nourish a woman. Because the mother, you know, leadership comes from the father. Nourishment comes from the mother. Now, a lot of people might say, no, leadership comes from the father. And I think that if I had my father in my life, or if my grandfather lived his rightful age that he did live, I would have had a better picking and decision making and choosing men. Because, you know, some of the men I dated were straight 2 and 3 strikes, right? But I also dated the doctor. I dated 2 doctors, an engineer. I dated well-to-do men, and I dated well-to-do street men, you know. And at the end of the day, when I was looking for something in them that I lacked that father figure. So I was searching for that father figure in them, and I think that's destruction of our relationship as a woman, because we're trying to look for the love, the strength, the protectness from a man that we didn't have from our father. So, you know, I had to get fixed with that. You know, I had to have that deep cleansing of the soul. And, you know, and I have a stepfather that's a preacher, and he loves me as if he was my own daughter. So he was in my life, but, you know, he didn't come into my life until like I was older. But he came and he showed me this is how a man should be, right? A man should be a provider. A man should be a protector. But a lot of time we as women, we want that. You want to be safe. My next relationship, the man God has for me, has to love me more than I love him, because my love goes unmatched. When I tell you I love you, you can take that to the bank. That's liquid gold. You can cash that in any bank. Any bank. Because my love is solid. And I'm not saying that because I am talking about myself, but if you genuinely know me, you know when I say I love you, it ain't shit I wouldn't do for you. Nothing, because that's who I am as a woman. So, you know, you learn and then navigate, but it's just that a lot of sisters are hurting right now because they open up to these men that they're kindred to, and they break them down.
Yeah, you're not, I can't say nothing. I'm speechless, because that is so true. That is so true on so many levels. you know, and something you said, it gravitates towards me because I went through that same situation for us. When you said that the next man that you meet, he's got to love you more than you love him. And I think that is so true. And I think that's where a lot of love doesn't fully connect with each other on two people, because you may have somebody out there, you know, they could love you. Hey, I love you. You know, hey, they'll tell you that all day. I love you. But do you really love that person though? You know, are you willing to go the extra mile for that person? Because, you know, it's easy to say you love somebody when it's good. But do you love that person also when it's bad times as well? You know, if this person is venting to you, are you one of them people that gets mad? Like, man, I don't want to hear this today. Well, that's the part of love. You're supposed to be there for that person as well, through the good and through the bad. And I think sometimes people get caught up in, well, I've been with this person long enough, so I guess it's good for me to say that four-letter word to them. And they may not even mean it deep down all the way through. And now you got the other person, which is truly in love with you. They trying to understand, well, how come my love is, you know, I feel my vibes, my energy is flowing towards him, but I don't feel it's not reciprocal going back the other way. And that leads to problems right there.
Do you know, I had a conversation, because I'm always having, I love having real conversation with real people, not pretend people, not fake people. I like to talk to people. I bring people on my show that's been through some shit that can relate to me, right? I had a friend on, and like I said, we talked about when the soul is familiar to another, they gravitate to that because that's all they know. And if the soul is familiar, like if you're familiar with toxic men, toxic women, arguing, breaking up, going back, busting one of the pains out each other, cars, slicing tires up, arguing, not coming home on time, being with this person here, being with that person there, and that's all you know because that's all you used to. So when a real person comes into your life that genuinely loves you, like genuinely loves you, meaning want the best for you, you couldn't even, it's nothing you could do, nothing you could say, because this person is love, right? This person truly is love. And they come into your life and all they seeing from you is this toxic stuff. And it's like, what happened to you, beloved? Like, what happened? And I'm just a firm believer that people need to seek therapy. And no one wants to address the little ugly kid in the room, the little ugly fearness in the room, the little ugly fear, the fear of the lack of love from the mother, the lack of love from the father. That's why these relationships are horrible, because it's the lack of love that they receive. And you know, a lot of time, a lot of men dislike women for what their mother did, what the grandmother did, the sister did, or the baby mama. And True. It has nothing to do with that woman, because you are so broken, you're going to break her down.
That is so true. But like I said, I think we talked about it before, about a little bit about the therapy. But I will say, when it comes to therapy, especially with blacks, it's like, it's hard to get black folks to want to get in therapy, because then they feel like, ain't nothing wrong with me. It ain't nothing wrong with me, you know? And it's like, it's been built up over years that, hey, if you're going to therapy, it got to be something wrong with you. When it actually is something wrong with you, but therapy is there to help you. That's why they call it therapy. It's therapeutic.
You know what the thing is? A lot of times, and it's been drilled in the black man head, you got to be strong. You got to be strong. You got to be this alpha male. You don't supposed to cry. A man does supposed to cry. A man does have feelings. Now, if he's running around and in his feelings and singing, kissed by Prince, he's a different kind. He's in his different type of feelings right now. That's not the man for you. He sings to his man. But you know, and I'm all for love, because I love everybody. You know, that's right. You know, but if you're with a man that's, you know, that dealt with trauma, he needs to handle it in a way that can help him. And sometimes you have to step out the way. Because it's okay for a black man to cry. It's okay. And it's okay for a black man to love one woman. It's okay. It's okay for a black woman to allow her man to have the space he needs to breathe. Because I'm all for that. You know, if I'm in a relationship with you, you say, baby, I'm going to go hang with my boys. Okay, because guess what I'm going to be doing? Laying in the bed, reading a book, or working on the podcast, or creating some stuff. That's what I'm going to do. So let him, I trust you at 100%. Until you start showing me different. And when you show me different, that means that I can't trust you in the same way that I trusted you, because you started showing me something different. And we must address these problems. Now, if I sit down there and I come to you and I tell you this is what I'm seeing, and you still doing the same, that let me know that you got some things you need to work on and I need to move out the way. I have another question for you. Because, you know, I see a lot of men in toxic relationships. So I want to know, how do you avoid sucker shit?
Well, I always say this, and it's funny, but I feel like you have to experience sucker shit to learn to be able to avoid sucker shit. And I say that based on just the way I was raised, right? And the way I was raised, and I'm using Los Angeles as a way, that's how it raised me really to be a man. And my whole thing with avoiding sucker shit is just, I have an approach for it. I don't allow like anything that I feel that's going to be toxic or I get back to this word, bad energy. I don't allow it around me. It's like I got a shield up. And it's like the ozone layer damn near. Like them gamma rays, they coming, but they not penetrating. And so I've always been the type of person that if anything is not good for me, I remove myself from it. And it could be small things. We could be at a gathering or something. I get invited somewhere. If the energy is off or just bad, like I say, bad energy, I'm gone. And hey man, let's sit down. No, bro. You stay here, you chill. I'm going with a good energy. It's shining bright here right now. So I've always been that type of person. And I'm not just saying it just to be on the podcast, you know, just
no, I
you know, just so
I,
good, but
I know sincerity when I hear it. Okay. Yeah. The energy doesn't lie.
Yeah, and like I say, from my family to my friends, you seen posts, people clown with me, but they know at the end of the day that I'm not with the BS. And so you can't bring BS around me because I don't have toilet paper for your shit. You understand? And so I wasn't raised like that, and I always tell people this too. Maybe it's part of God testimony or whatever, but I was raised, like I say, in Los Angeles with my grandmother. So I was raised around gangs. Like you say, I witnessed the crack era in the 80s in South Central. So I've seen my uncles on it. I've seen my grandmother sell it. So I've seen a lot of toxic situations that could allow me to be in them situations, but God knew that that's not for you. And so he removed me from them situations, and I can deal with things better. And like, you know, getting back to the toxic, there's nothing about me that's toxic. So I don't attract anything that'll bring toxicity to me. So, you know, in every regard, so when you say, how do you avoid sucker shit? Easy. I'm never around sucker shit.
But you know something? But I can say this, because a lot of people have a healing mechanism, and broken people be attracted to a healer. And I know that's deep.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's true, because I have a healing soul. And I've dealt with a lot of broken people, whether in relationships or friendships. They were broken. Sometimes people don't recognize that you are truly who you say you are. You're truly a friend, because they never experienced a real friend until they met you. And then they don't know how to embrace you, or they never experienced a real woman until they met you, and they don't know how to embrace you. And it's a catch-22, because the women that I surround myself with, these are some powerful, beautiful, intellectual, educated, hard, they on their shit. They got their shit together, right? And your group should reflect who you are as a woman or who you are as a man.
True.
And these sisters are some of the most beautiful, intellectual people you could ever meet. Like, you can sit down and you can hold a conversation with them, and it's never a dull moment because they are truly who they say that they are. But they are healers, and they attract things that are broken. And it's like sometimes even the healer needs to be healed from the brokenness of others, because people don't believe that people can drain your energy. They can drain your positive vibe. So, yeah, it's a catch-22 in everything. But I agree with you to a certain extent about sucker shit. Because sometimes you can be the most sucker-free person ever, but you still end up around some suckers.
I'm gonna get you sucker.
Yeah, you can end up around some. So, I want to know, I know that you said that you never married, but when you do decide to marry, how would you know? I know you touched on it briefly, but how, because then that's relationship-wise. Now we're talking about the marriage. How would you know, truly know, this woman is the woman for you? Like, would you pray? Would you ask God to show you things? Like, how would you go about this? Because you sound like you're ready to be in something meaningful, and you want something real. Well, how would you go about pursuing that?
Well, first and foremost, like you said, I would pray on it. And because I feel like, hey, that's bigger than me. Because, you know, it's got to be a sign. And I go back to my ex. And at the time, I prayed, hey, God, hey, man, I need you to send me somebody that knows me, that I can understand, that's different. And when I say different, and I'm using it based on being out here in Louisiana. I've been out here since 2012 when I left Houston. So I was running into females that seemed like, and I'm not being funny, but it seemed like all a fifth of hen, get a couple grams. We come over, and you know, it is what it is. You know, and there's nothing, I'm not knocking that too, because ain't nothing wrong with that at the end of the day. Cause a lot, and I can say to the females I did deal with prior, they still was on their shit, you know, working, took care of the kids. But I just knew that this ain't nothing that I want to spend my life with, because I done that when I was a teenager, you know. So when I asked God to, hey, man, just send me a good woman, he actually did, you know, and through circumstances that, but we still probably trying to figure out to this day why we decided we still want to be good friends, right?
And right. So
we actually had I guess you call it therapy almost. I sat down with her and her mother, because they from New Orleans. So it's one of them situations where I explained my situation, she explained hers, and we just came to an agreement that, you know what, before anything gets a chance of going bad, we gonna be best friends still. And to this day, we're good friends. Now, getting back to the point of how would I know now, it would have to just be God. And it would have to be to the point of now where I would know that I'm ready to just to spend the rest of my life with this one individual, and I'm content with everything else. And I always say that I need to make sure that my past and even my present is straight, so my future can be bright. Because if you don't handle a lot of things in your past, your present can't move to the future, because your present gonna be always still stuck dealing, trying to keep the past out the way, and you'll never see your future. So, you know, I just feel like, I ain't gonna lie, Nisha, I don't know if I'm ever gonna get married. And I used to think that was a bad thing, but now I'm at the point in my life where that's not a bad thing, because
marriage isn't for everybody, Calvin.
That part. And I don't want to put myself in a situation where, you know, you get older and you be like, this, you know, she may feel like too, like, damn, I may not marry nobody. Hey, we get along good, Calvin. What you say? Let's do it. And, you know, you do this And 3 months, 4 months down the road, y'all both looking at each other. You may wake up at the same time and be like, you know what? We should have never did this shit. And I never want to put myself in that situation. And I truly believe, too, God maybe always told me, maybe telling me, hey, Calvin, you're not getting married. I don't want you to get married. And it's okay with that. You know, some people, I do believe some people want to get married. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of us out here, too, that's looking at it like, hey, I'm good. I'm good with my life. And I always feel like if I'm happy with myself, that's the most important thing.
That's really true. I always tell people that you got to be honest in the beginning of what you want in a relationship. Now, I don't expect nobody to marry me overnight. Please understand me. I don't want to hear it. I don't want no messages. So, you know, Kanisha, you know, I think, you know, we could get married. No, the hell we can't, because you don't know me and I don't know you. I don't expect for me to get married overnight. I don't expect someone to marry me overnight. I expect someone to court me in the way that I desire to be courted, because I'm a firm believer in you speaking as if, you know, speaking things into existence. Me, I like romantic stuff, right? And my romantic stuff might not be romantic to some. Honestly, I like the museum. I like great art. I love African art. I think a dope ass date for me would be that him and I getting dressed up in our nice him in a nice suit or button down with a blazer and some slacks and some nice loafers. Me in a nice gown or a jumpsuit, and we're headed to an art exhibit or an art opening that's showing exhibits, you know? Yeah. I think that's a dope date. I think going to Barnes & Noble at a bookstore, drinking coffee and discussing books is a dope date. Okay? That's what I think, you know? And of course, you know, I like nice restaurants and stuff, and I like concerts. And I think that surprising him to a Rockets game, because, I mean, I'm the type of girlfriend be like, okay, well, let's do some. Let me surprise him. Let's go. Let me take him to the Rockets game. Or let me take him to the Texans game. You know, let me plan a little something, a little romantic something at Lake Conroe or whatever the case may be. Or the Brazos River. You know, something. Or the Travis room, something differently. You know, you want to be spontaneous. You want somebody that match your energy. I have a child. I have a daughter, and she was like, this kid, you know, they're friends, but you know, the little boy like her or whatever. She was like, oh, I don't like him because he does not match my energy. I said, energy? Energy. So I had to stop. I mean, I'm driving. I said, your energy, what do you mean by energy? She said, yeah, you gotta match my energy. Yo, the vibe. So it's good that she's in tune with the universe. The energies and stuff is like, I'm always amazed when she opened her mouth, because she has listened, and I have broken generation curses for a lifetime with her. And I smile at that. But you know, to me, that's what I feel that. You know, you got to be open about what you are, who you are, what you are, how you are, and what you expect from someone like me. I'm simple. Bring me coffee.
Yeah, I know that's your favorite for the mornings.
Yeah, just bring me coffee. Bring me coffee and, just bring me coffee. Yeah, just bring me coffee in the morning. My favorite flowers are tulips. You know, you don't have to buy me anything. 9 times out of 10, if I want it, I'm going to get it myself. If you want to buy it, you know that you want to get it for me, then go ahead. So my final question for tonight is, do you think that there's hope for men? And men that really want to settle down, do you really think that there's hope?
Oh yeah, of course it is, because there's men out there that want that, you know. There's always hope, you know. And I always say this, and like I say, I don't want to sound too cliche with it, but every day you get a chance to wake up, it's a chance for you to be better than you was the day before. So there's always a hope, and there's always a chance for men to, get their shit together, man. Because like you say, you don't want women eventually running to other women.
Well, that's one. Let me tell you, I don't have nothing against the LGBTQRST community.
Yeah,
I have nothing against them. I mean, some of my best friends are gay, but I'm strictly dickly. I like a man to just be a man to me, honey. Just a real man. That's what I like. A real man. Tell me, hey, Nisha D, you getting a little bit out of line, you know. I ain't talking about somebody that's gonna bang me upside my head and stuff. And hell no.
Hey, you man, need one of them James Evans men.
Yeah, that's too harsh. Cause
that's too hard.
That's
okay. So you don't want to, there's only two places for a woman, Floyd. Don't say it, James. Don't say it. The kitchen and the bedroom.
Nah, I don't need no okay. Middle show this. No. But yeah, that's good to let everyone know that there is still hope out there.
Oh yeah.
Well, my brother, I will have you back on the show soon. Thank you for the great perspective. Thank you for being a guest on the show. As always, I always tell my listening audience and my guests that come on, may the Lord God keep you. May God guide you in this whirlwind we call life. May peace be with you and your family. And may you just live your best life with understanding. I wish you nothing but the best, my love. Until we meet again, thank you.
Thank you so much, Nisha. You have a great day.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.